Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on a rather wet Thursday, June the 5th in Kent. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, a petition's been launched calling for the Gravesend to Tilbury ferry service to be reinstated. It's feared people affected by a fire at a block of flats in Dover could be out of their home for many more months. And a woman spoken of her shock after receiving a gas bill for almost £30,000. But first today, this is our most read story on the website. A new no-fly zone has been put in place over a famous shipwreck off the Kent coast. Pilots are banned from going over the remains of the SS Richard Montgomery, which sunk off Sheerness during the Second World War. Well, reporter Joe Crosley has been covering this story and joins me on the podcast now. Joe, thanks ever so much for being here. Firstly, can you just remind us about the vessel and how it came to be wrecked off of Kent?
Yes, so the American's munition ship sank off of Sheerness in August 1944 after it beached on a sandbank. Basically, it's full of bombs. 7,000 tonnes were on the boat as it was trying to come to the UK to supply, obviously, during the Second World War. Around about half of them still on the boat, even though there was a rescue effort, I guess, to try and get some of these explosives off. And it has sat at the bottom of the ocean since. It is talked about lots by not only us in the local media, but also national media. They absolutely love it. They've labelled it a doomsday bomb wreck and everything like that. And there's a potential of a 10 tsunami, which they like to call it. And that's based on if these array of explosives were to go off. Whether they would is massively up for debate. I actually spoke to a top professor last summer for the 80th anniversary to ask whether it would go off and what the risk is. And you can read that on Kent Online.
And why has the no-fly zone been put in place?
I asked the Department for Transport, which looks after the boat, exactly that question. They sort of said they've been advised by experts, basically. I asked the Department for Transport, actually, you know, why have those experts advised that? And they declined to answer. We do have some precedent for something like this being put in place. Back in August 2022, they brought in a similar ban to remove 66 bombs. Of course, we have no idea what this specific ban has been, why it's been put in place. But it could be that, could not be.
Now, Joe, there were plans to remove the mast of the ship. What's the latest on that?
There's three masts on the Monty, which you can see jutting out the water. Basically, they want to remove them because they fear that basically it's putting additional weight on the degrading ship hull. And so that's why they want to be cut off. That plan came to the front in 2021. But basically, they're still at the survey stage. They're still taking loads of surveys. It's been pushed back around about three times. Last year, I remember I wrote a story basically saying it's coming this year, they're going to take them down. And then in April this year, again, it was, oh, it's going to be next year. But what we do know is that the Department for Transport is looking for a contractor, which it says it's going to hopefully have in place by the end of this year. So hopefully they might come down. There is a bit of a war though between Southend and Sheerness as to who could get the masters. Obviously there could be a massive tourist attraction, which again you can read about on Kent Online.
Joe, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
A father and son have appeared in court charged with murder after a four-year-old boy died in a crash near Dartford. The 53 and 27-year-olds from Darrenth have been remanded in custody. Tributes, as you heard in yesterday's podcast, have been paid to the little boy with flowers left at the scene on New Barn Road in Southfleet. A 24-year-old man is still critical in hospital. A man's admitted causing the death of a teenager in a crash in Broadstairs. Ethan Entwistle was a passenger in the vehicle that hit a tree on Dumpton Park Drive in October 2023. Colby Hammond, who's 20 and from Westwood Road in the town, has admitted causing death by dangerous driving. He's due to be sentenced in August. A man who threatened a Sittingbourne co-op worker with a knife and smashed a glass bottle on them has been jailed. Connor Openshaw was challenged by a member of staff after trying to take beer from the store on Gadby Road without paying. The 23-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, also hurled racist abuse. He's been sentenced to 6 months. The birth mother of Westmorling boy Tony Hudgell is set to be released from prison. Jodie Simpson was jailed in 2018 for abusing Tony when he was just weeks old, leaving him with life-changing injuries. The 31-year-old, who lived in Whitstable at the time of her trial, will be freed after the parole board ruled her imprisonment was no longer necessary for the protection of the public. Now, a petition has been launched calling for the Gravesend to Tilbury ferry service to be reinstated. It's not run for more than 12 months now after local authorities in Essex and Kent pulled their funding. Businesses, though, say they've suffered a loss of trade as footfall through Gravesend declines. Dr. Lauren Sullivan is the MP for Gravesham. She's been speaking to Bartholomew Hall from our colleagues at KMTV.
We've launched a new petition to reinstate the Tilbury Gravesend ferry. Now, this is really to show a strength of support to get this ferry to come back. So if anybody is watching and would like to sign it, please do sign that petition. The more names that we can get, we can really demonstrate to businesses and councils that actually this petition means that we need this ferry back.
And also, the ferry stopped a few months ago, about a year ago.
Yeah.
Kind of, what's the impact been on businesses in Gravesham in particular?
So the impact businesses, because the ferry has been stopped, has been quite profound and quite significant. So we've seen that footfall has decreased, and speaking to businesses along the high street, they are telling me that they've really suffered a loss of funds and a lot of traffic coming through the town. So this is really about how we can keep this on the agenda and really call on all the various businesses around the Thames estuary, across the water. How can we all work together with councils to really reinstate this Tilbury Gravesend ferry?
I wonder, how are you going to go about reinstating it?
So we are looking to work with businesses along the Thames estuary, working with my fellow MP Jane Craft across the water, as well as speaking to councils and anybody really that wants to join in this crusade to really get this Tilbury Gravesend ferry back. Working and speaking with the likes of Thames Clipper, who have been looking to run a service from London up from Gravesend to London. But we're really just trying to pull together and find the willing that we can all come together and from this Gravesend Tilbury ferry.
Bartholomew also caught up with Faye Crystal, who runs a coffee shop in the town.
We've lost a lot of customers from the ferry closing. We had regulars that came across on the ferry to have breakfast, coffees, days out. A lot of older people came across on the ferry and enjoyed coming across for days out and having the coffee and their food here as well. So yeah, we've lost quite a lot. We do have some that have still continued to come, but they're telling me they've got 4 buses to get here. So they're few and far between, and we definitely need it back.
And for the business as well, you must have, that's customers as well, so that's a bit of cost for you that you've had to take.
Especially on a Saturday morning, because a lot of them came across on a Saturday, and we've lost all that trade that came from that. And we're not the only ones. The high street, a few of the businesses from the high street have actually closed because they just couldn't sustain it because there was nobody walking up and down the high street anymore.
And of course, there's a petition now to try and bring it back. The local MP's really keen to see the Tilbury Ferry again. Are you optimistic that it could come back?
I'm really hoping it will. I'm hoping that now that there's another power in the KCC, that they might look at it in a different light and work with Tilbury to bring it back. Yes, definitely.
And finally, we can hear from Lester Banks, who runs the Gravesend Model Centre in the High Street. He's been telling Bartholomew how it's impacted his business.
We've had a drop in actual walk-in sales, but we have picked up on mail order sales because a lot of the people used to come from Essex, they'd come across and then they'd do their shopping in Gravesend and then go back. And so obviously we're not getting those, and who wants to go and sit in the traffic for 2.5 hours going across the bridge? So at the moment, we're suffering, but not as bad as some of the other people.
And in terms of Gravesend as a whole, I mean, what sort of a benefit was the Tilbury Ferry for footfall?
Well, the main benefit is the fact that the customers would come from Essex to here. You had very few customers going from here to Essex. So we, as a Gravesender, you were getting the benefit of the extra turnover and the extra sales.
And for those customers that aren't able to go all the way around to the Dartford crossing and then make their way down, you were telling me about a couple that would have relied on it before. Now they had to make that big journey.
It took them an hour and a half to get here once they left the bridge. So yes, you're adding £10 to the cost of whatever the fees are for the cars. You're adding that to the cost of your item, whereas before, at their age, they could get on the ferry, use their bus pass, come across, do their shopping, go back.
And now this petition has come about. How sort of optimistic are you that it could make some sort of change?
Not very, because unless both parties come up with the money, and I believe they've now got to go back to the PLA and redo, if they get someone else's, they've got to do all their master certificates and everything else. So it's going to be, I'm not 100%. Once things have gone, it's very difficult to get them back.
You can also read this story and let us know what you think. Should the Gravesend to Tilbury ferry service be reinstated, or was it costing local councils too much? You can head to Kent Online to leave a comment, or indeed you can have a say on our socials.
Kent Online reports.
A man suspected of stealing alcohol from Sainsbury's in Faversham has appeared in court. Staff at the store on Bisingwood Road reported bottles of whiskey and vodka had been taken last month. Police were then allegedly assaulted while detaining a suspect. A 26-year-old has been remanded in custody. Reform UK's Doge is said to be in discussion with Kent County Council about nearly £3 million of financial irregularities. It's after the team arrived at County Hall in Maidstone on Monday to identify issues and wasteful spending. A spokesman says the findings will be reported back to KCC leader Lyndon Kemp-Caron, and she'll decide on a course of action. More than 450 homes are going to be built next to a country park near Sittingbourne. Plans for Willowbrook Village, which will cover 143 acres in Iwade, have been given the go-ahead. A community centre with offices, meeting rooms and nursery facilities has also been approved. A former teaching assistant from Kent must sign on the sex offenders register for sending inappropriate pictures to a teenager. Chelsea Knox from Hartley near Gravesend also asked the boy, who's under 16, to send her private pictures in return over Snapchat. The 33-year-old, who lives in Porchester Close, will find out her sentence later this year and has been released on bail until then. Now, the Kent Online podcast has been hearing how people affected by a huge fire at a block of flats in Dover could be out of their homes for many more months. Conqueror House in Crabble Hill caught alight over Easter after a blaze started in the bin storage. 57 tenants are now living in temporary accommodation. Well, I've been speaking to Councillor James DeFriend, who represents Dover Town.
There's massive damage, you know. I've heard that potentially a year, and from someone else, 2 years, so that's not been confirmed. A lot of the residents are still living in hotels. There is a massive housing crisis at the moment. It's across the country. It's not just in Dover, and it's very, very difficult to find these people suitable accommodation. I spoke to Town and Country, who own the building, and they made me a promise that they will not leave any of the residents behind, and they will always be looked after, and none of them will be made homeless. But until properties are found, they are actively trying at the moment to find them suitable homes.
But as far as you're aware, James, so it could take up to a year, maybe even more, for those people to get back into their properties.
Yes, I mean, the best case scenario is they're all found permanent, suitable accommodation, and as quickly as possible. So hopefully when the building is repaired, then there'll be lots more suitable homes for other people that are struggling to find homes too. But obviously the priority for Town and Country is the people that are living in hotels at the moment.
And you say the whole of Dover really came together. I know we reported at the time about the amount of aid that was collected, because people literally either lost everything or had to leave everything behind, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just the fire damage, it's the water damage too. And obviously the difficulty in having access to the building because of obviously safety protocols. The community was mind-blowing. The social media response was huge. And like I say, the Working Man's Club in Dover, Jackie and Emily, they were there day and night. They're still there day and night, in constant communication with the residents and just making sure they've got everything they need.
And have you been to the site recently, James? I mean, what's it like for anyone who doesn't know Dover? What's that area like, and what's the property, the situation of the property at the moment?
So the half of the road in front of it is currently blocked off. So there's a bit of a traffic problem running through there, but I guess people understand. From the front of the building, it actually looks like there's not much damage, but it's not until you walk around the back you can see that, you know, some of the walls come away. There's a lot of work to be done.
As you heard there, the building is owned by Town and Country Housing, and they say it is far too soon to say how long it's going to take for the building to be repaired, but they will keep residents updated. They've actually sent us a statement. It says that their priority has always been to find residents suitable alternative accommodation until they can move back into Conqueror House or another permanent home. And they say, as James mentioned in his interview, despite the chronic shortage of available housing in and around Dover, they're pleased to say that they're making good progress in getting those housings in place. Of the 37 households at Conqueror House, 8 are staying with family and friends, 9 have moved to Coombe House, and 20 remain in hotels. But they're pleased to say that within the next couple of weeks, 7 of the households staying in hotels will be moved into a permanent new home. One of them will be moving to a medium-term property. They've also confirmed to us that power to the building has been restored now, and they're currently in the process of finding a contractor to carry out the repair work. Meantime, we've been hearing from a woman from Margate who's described the horror of watching a fire rip through her home. Jane Moore's house in Norfolk Road in Cliftonville was severely damaged in April. The 70-year-old has been speaking to reporter Millie Bowles.
When I came in, I just felt broken. I felt, my whole world is falling apart. But looking at the cupboards, I saw a bit of hope. I was very, very shaken. But I stayed composed. I didn't feel like I needed to cry yet. And quite upsetting to see the window gone.
And then can you explain what sort of damage has been caused upstairs as well? So the hallway and the bedroom and stuff.
I call it the beast. Went upstairs and found a fireplace, which is just above the kitchen. And beside it was a wardrobe, and then started his rage or eating. Oh, gosh. So everything in that room was practically gone. The mattress was gone, just the bed. I think just a little bit of the base was left, so you could just see the springs from the mattress. Wardrobe gone, sideboard gone, little wooden table gone. The sofa was half gone. Bedside cabinet gone, and chest of drawers that was just blackened, and the whole room was completely decimated.
A GoFundMe has been started as the pensioner who also volunteers at Myers Community Centre in Herne Bay did not have home insurance. You can find details within the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online reports.
There's a bit of confusion today after a memorial to the victims of the Southport stabbings was put up on Sheppey. 3 young girls were killed in the attack in Merseyside last year, but a plaque has now been put up nearly 300 miles away beneath a tree off the Rowetts Way roundabout. Villagers say they're touched and would like whoever's responsible to come forward so they can be recognised. A restaurant in Tenterden has lost its licence after repeatedly hiring illegal workers. The owners of Badshah Indian Cuisine have racked up fines of £120,000 from the Home Office for disregarding immigration law over the last 10 years. A licensing subcommittee revoked the licence. It means the business can still run, but it can no longer serve alcohol or any hot food and drink after 11 p.m. 3 youth workers are cycling 240 miles from coast to coast in a bid to save Ramsgate Youth Centre. It's part of a push from Pie Factory Music to raise enough money to buy the site from the council after they revealed plans to sell it off. The Pie Cycle Challenge starts in Portishead and will finish at the Youth Centre on Monday. A Kent woman has received an apology from British Gas after receiving a bill for more than £27,000 for just one day's use. Janine Duffel from South Darrenth had previously been paying around £53 per month, where she's been telling reporter Ellie Hodgson how she felt when the huge bill arrived.
I felt sick. I actually felt physically sick. And my bowel, I got inflammatory bowel disease. Ulcerative colitis, and straight away I could feel all my ulcers popping. I try to be strong with considering my disability. I've got a spine disease with the ulcerative colitis, and I'm going through hell. And so that's it. I went spiraling down. You know, I know it's a mistake, but I'm trying to work out. I mean, what is it? Is it for all the flats? Even then, it wouldn't even be. You know, what? Where have they got these figures from? So. That was it. That's when I spoke to my friend in Gloucester, my best friend Sharon, and she said, why don't you talk to, you know, off Gem, isn't it, off Gem, and you know, no one wanted to know. They don't want to know. So I thought the only thing I can do is just excel it and see what other, you know, other people think, the papers think, because it's ridiculous.
And obviously circling back a bit, but before you got this massive bill through, you'd spoken to them on the phone and you explained you were struggling to pay the bill and to then get a value of 30,000.
But I did, but yeah, the massive bill, they already knew I was struggling, yeah. And for that to, I don't get how that bill got through without being looked at first. How do they send bills out like that? So to me, it makes me think, all the bills right? Are all the bills right you get? You know, it makes me want to go through them. But then again, I look at the bills, I can't understand. I can't make head nor tail of them at all.
And obviously after Kent Online got in touch, they contacted you.
Thankfully, yes.
And they've apologised, right? And yep. They've said that the bill was sent in error.
In error. It was for 29,000 something was measured for one day. It measured for one day, and apparently the advisor had put the figures in wrong. She put it into the gas instead of the electric, something like that. I think it's on the email, isn't it? And so, well, that's the explanation. She's agreed to write off basically the amount that's showing of 600 and something apparently I owe. Excuse me. And I've written that off and I've given you £100 credit.
And what do you think of that response? Does it mitigate the trauma?
Trying to shut me up? No, because she didn't. You know, all right, she's cleared the monetary side of things, perhaps. But what am I supposed to do now? Wait for my bill every month, not knowing what it's going to be?
The supplier say they made a mistake and it was down to an error while reading the meter. They've said it should have been manually recognised. English Heritage is searching for the descendants of people who took part in a protest near Tunbridge Wells 500 years ago. This week marks the anniversary of the Bayham Abbey uprising, which saw more than 100 men storm the abbey in protest over its closure by Cardinal Wolsey in 1525. Researchers are hoping to find any local family connections. And Kent's Big Cat Sanctuary has celebrated 25 years of conservation. Part of the celebrations included the reveal of a statue of the sanctuary's founder, Peter Sampson, and a rescued tiger cub. Earlier this year, the centre in Spardon near Ashford opened a new lion rescue facility, which is now home to five lions from war-torn Ukraine.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and we'll find out today if Maidstone's Alessia Russo has been named in the squad for the Women's Euros. The 2025 tournament kicks off in Switzerland on July the 2nd. Serena Wiegmann will name her 23 players later. And in cricket, Kent are back in T20 Blast action tonight. The Spitfires have travelled to take on Middlesex after beating Gloucestershire by just 4 runs in their first game of the competition. Play is due to start at 6:15. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories, and if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.